Book of Mark, chapter 6. Reading out of the New Living Translation, the word said, "So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Today I want to wrap up this second message, wrap up this series with this second message, answering the question, why serve? Today I want to talk to you about how that saved people serve people. I said saved people serve people. If you will, one more time, pray with me and for me. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Holy Spirit, I thank you for conditioning this atmosphere in the last few moments for the word that I'm going to deliver today. I pray for the next few moments that you would decrease me until I am nothing, that your Holy Spirit would be increased within me, and that I would deliver your word today, not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of your Spirit. God, I pray today you would anoint every ear to hear and every heart to receive what you're speaking to your church today. And Lord, I pray today that we would leave this place with a revelation on serving, with a revelation of your example of how we are to serve, that we leave today knowing that as saved people, we must serve people. God, move our hearts with compassion for the lost around us. Help us to see and recognize that we must work while it is day, because night is coming when no man can work. Let us be about your business. Let us leave this place today encouraged to be about your business. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. As I told you last week, that week before last, I was reading a lot of things that, while I was homesick, about the pandemic and how the workforce and things in the world changed through the pandemic. And I come across a news article from 2021 that stated that there were more than 11 million job openings and only 6 million unemployed workers, and that employers were struggling in 2021 for more than a year into 2022 to hire enough people to fill open positions. And if you've been a supervisor or manager to any degree in the workforce, you can probably relate to that. What a difficulty it is to hire and keep people that want to work today. And although employers across the economy said they were struggling to find and keep workers, the labor shortages at the time were mostly in retail, where roughly 70% of job openings remained unfulfilled for an extended period of time, 55% of manufacturing job openings, and 45% of leisure and hospitality. You may say, Pastor, what has all that got to do with what you just read to us or what you're talking about today? I want to tell you, businesses today can certainly recognize the dilemma that Jesus was addressing in today's text. Business folk today could recognize the same dilemma that Jesus was talking about. It's not new. There's no new thing under the sun. It's been for over 2,000 years. And I want us to look at how Jesus addressed it. Let's look at that same passage of Scripture in the Message translation. The word said, "So they got in the boat and they went off to a remote place by themselves." Now, has anybody in ministry, or if you're not a minister yourself, we're all ministers in certain ways, but if you're not a minister of the gospel, but you've served in any capacity in ministry for any extended period of time, has anybody ever just felt like you needed to get away by yourself and have some alone time, right? Ministry can be taxing. So they got into the boat and they went off to a remote place by themselves, and someone saw them going, and the word got around, and from the surrounding towns, people went out on foot running, and they got there ahead of them. And when Jesus arrived, remember, Jesus himself was going to a remote place for some quiet time. And when Jesus arrived, he saw the huge crowd. And at the sight of them, his heart broke. They were like sheep with no shepherd. And instead of taking a break, instead of propping his feet up on the couch, somebody help me preach this morning. Instead of saying, I came here to be alone, Jesus rolled his sleeves up. And the word said he went right to work teaching them. He had gone there to rest, but he ended up going right to work when he saw the needs of the people. You may remember from last week that Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 10, but then he also states that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he's addressing a labor shortage. He's declaring that help is needed. And there are a couple of interesting things in this similar passage that I want to draw your attention to today. The first is that the text says that it is a deserted place. The parallel passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14 says it is a desolate place. And the word there used for deserted or desolate means barren. That's what it means. And that's interesting to me because that means that it lacks life. It lacks sustaining ability. It lacks resources. And I would just ask you this morning to stop and look around at the world around you today. For all the promises of this nation that we live in, somebody help me. For all of the technological advances that we enjoy, for all of the many material items that we all possess, I think we could still assess our land and say that it is barren. And the promises that are being made are not promises that produce life. Somebody help me preach this morning. Society will tell you to buy everything and obtain everything that you can. But can I tell you this morning that you can buy everything and obtain everything that you can, and still in this society there is no sustainable joy. Our land today looks much like the land that Jesus observed. The condition of the people of Jesus' day is exactly like the people of our day today. And the second thing that I noticed in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus models for us what we do in light of the condition of the people that we see like this. If you continue reading in verse 35, you'll find that it says, "Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and the villages and buy something to eat.' But Jesus said, 'You feed them.'" Did you catch that? "With what?" they ask. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all of these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'm going to preach it a little bit differently to you today. And he looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. And they all, say all, they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish, and a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed." I want you to notice how Jesus' disciples really wanted to respond. It sounds like too many of us. When we are safe, when we are comfortable, when we are fulfilled, when we are saved. Many times, if we're not careful, our attitude will be, send those folks away. Let them fend for themselves. But I want you to notice what Jesus says in response. He puts it back on the disciples. He said, you, shout you. You give them something to eat. Now the disciples were smart enough to admit that they couldn't pull that off. And I don't know about you, but I have also came to the conclusion that I personally cannot do anything to change the perspective of folks who are hopeless. I cannot personally save not one person. I don't have the resources or the power to produce a life change in somebody. So when the disciples respond by describing their lack and the fact that they can't do it, we find that Jesus then steps in and produces a miracle. He takes the meager offerings of the disciples and he produces the miracle. He produces the power. He produces the resources. And then he takes that miracle and he places it back in the hands of the disciples to distribute. Can I tell you this morning that we are his distribution system for the supernatural when we serve. We are his distribution system for the supernatural to happen as we serve. He is the one that provides the answer. He is the one that provides the miracle. He is the one that provides the resources. But he expects his disciples to get the answer out of their hands and into the hands of the people who have a need. Can I tell you this morning that his arm is only as short as our reach. And I also want you to notice what happens. The text says that he kept giving the disciples provision as long as they were giving it away. He kept giving it to them until everybody ate and until everybody was full. Jesus models for us how we are to serve. I want you to think about it this morning. When Jesus received that small, let's just call it a lunchbox, if you will. When he received that small lunchbox, he could have done like many of us would have done if we were hungry, and he could have ate it himself. Or he could have fed his most three favorite disciples. Or maybe he could have done like they do a lot of places today and made sure that the wealthy in the crowd were taken care of. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach that. Or maybe he could have done like many of us would have done and made sure that the popular or important or maybe even the most vocal people in the crowd were taken care of. But instead, Jesus makes sure everybody gets part of the meal. I just came to remind you this morning that if you have truly encountered Jesus, if you have been rescued, if you have tasted the goodness and the great grace of God, then surely you must conclude, as I do, that we have been blessed beyond measure. God has given us more than we deserve. God has been better to me than I've been to myself. Can I get a witness in this house this morning?
God has been merciful to me when I didn't even feel like I deserved mercy. God has provided for me maybe when I didn't even do what I should have done with my own resources. Are you with me this morning? God has provided. God has blessed. God has given. And God continues to do it over and over again. Surely we must conclude that we have been given more. Shout more. More than enough. Said another way, there are plenty of supplies to go around if y'all love those conditional statements, don't you? If there are plenty of supplies to go around if you are willing to serve others. He will multiply the resources. I believe that. If he can simply find somebody who is willing to distribute the extra that he gives them. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach that now. Why would you lay up your treasures on earth where moth and dust doth corrupt, where thieves break in and steal? Can I get a witness this morning? You ought to keep enough to take care of your family. It's all right to put enough in the savings account for emergencies. It's even good to throw back some for a nice vacation. I'm all about that. But there is no need on you trying to see how much you can accumulate in this life just so that you can die and leave it for somebody to fight over. No, if God has blessed you with more than enough, you, if he can find somebody that's willing to distribute it, he'll continue blessing. He'll continue giving. Angie and I have learned that in our own lives. If you want to get, you must first learn to give. And when you give, you don't have to depend on the job. Y'all don't have to depend on the wealthy family member. You don't have to brown nose that wealthy friend. When you trust God, when you give, he will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you'll learn to give. That's why it's important that we must not withhold the more than enough for just a few of us. I'm not just talking about finances now. We must not withhold the more than enough for just certain people. We can't withhold the more than enough for those that we think look the way they ought to look when they come in here. We can't withhold the more than enough for those that we think dress the way we think they ought to dress when they come in here. Y'all ain't gonna help me this morning. We can't withhold the more than enough for just certain people and then cast the addicts aside, cast the prostitutes aside, cast the addicted aside. No, this is not a social club for people that have it all together. This is a hospital for the sick sinner. But when they come in, whoo, my God, they'll find help and hope in the house of the Lord. Our task is to distribute the great abundance of grace that we've been given until everybody has been served. I remind you that this isn't the only time that Jesus fed those around him. On the night before he was arrested and begins his journey toward death, he eats a meal with his disciples. And once again, Jesus distributes food. He takes bread and he breaks it. He takes a cup and he blesses it. And once again, Jesus models himself for us how to serve, because in this exchange, he feeds one at the table who he knew would betray him. Are you with me this morning? He didn't withhold it from somebody that he just knew was going to hurt him. He didn't withhold it from somebody because he couldn't trust them. He didn't withhold it from somebody because he simply just didn't like them. Jesus served all. And he consistently models selflessly and sacrificially serving others. And the really good news is, he's given you and I a seat at the table too. Isn't that good? He made it possible through the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body for us to have access to the Father, to resources, to be fulfilled. So on Good Friday, night of worship, we're going to take communion, as I've already said, on that night. But when we take it that night, we're not just going to take it this year to simply commemorate and contemplate what Jesus did for us. But I also want us to be reminded that as his disciples, we must follow his example. We have been served. So in turn, we, and that applies to everybody, must serve. I want us to be reminded that saved people serve people. I want to share some information with you this morning that should shake you. It shook me this week. And most of this information was only available through the end of 2022 because research companies and state statistics have not put together 2023 numbers yet. So even at this, it's a little bit stale. But I want you to hear this morning. At the end of 2022, there were 32,351 individuals incarcerated in 14 state prisons, 5 federal prisons, and local jails in the state of Kentucky alone. 32,351 people. According to the Kentucky Citizen Foster Care Review Board, there were approximately 13,000 children placed in out-of-home foster care in 2022. Each year, and this one breaks my heart, approximately 600 children every year in the state of Kentucky age out of the foster care system at age 18 without ever having been adopted. 600 children each year that have spent their first 18 years just wanting somebody to love them. That ought to break your heart. Hundreds of children in the system right now in Kentucky have been waiting for adoption for more than 5 years. There are 273,655 senior adults who are living in Kentucky alone, all by themselves, with nobody to check up on them. There are approximately, listen at this, 20,000 students in our surrounding schools. This only includes our 3 county schools, Laurel, Knox, and Whitley, and Corbin Independent. Does not even include Barberville Independent or Williamsburg Independent. 20,000 students in our 3 county schools in Corbin Independent. And Kentucky suicide statistics tell us that 22% or over 2,400 of our middle school and high school students in this area contemplated committing suicide last year. Suicide is the 13th leading cause of death in the state of Kentucky, and we witnessed it just across the street this year at the local high school. Darla and I were called in. Darla was called in, and I went for support to Corbin High School. They normally have about 60 to 80 students show up for FCA. And on that Friday morning after that suicide happened, they specifically called and said, I want Darla to come speak. The Lord has told me that Darla's going to have a word for these kids. And boy, I want to tell you, if she ever did, she did. I witnessed it myself. But that morning, there were over 200 students and faculty that flooded in to that auditorium to hear that word. Suicide. 2,400 of our local middle and high school students, no doubt some of them a part of this church, contemplated taking their own lives just last year. In Kentucky, there were 2,135 deaths by overdose in 2022. There are literally thousands of others still alive who struggle with addiction. Did you know that 38% of Kentuckians report having a family member or a friend who suffers from addiction? And in 2022, there were 2,135 of those people who died as a result of their addiction. Died in that bondage. Pew Research Center, which is one of the best religious study research centers available, their most recent study on religious affiliations among Kentuckians, this one blew my mind. It revealed that while 76% of those surveyed claimed to be Christian, there were another 22% of Kentuckians who were unaffiliated with any religion, including those who claimed to be atheist, agnostic, or nothing at all. If the same percentage were true for all Kentuckians, it was reported in 2023 that there were 4,526,154 people who resided in the state of Kentucky. And that would mean that 995,754 of those people claim to be either atheist, agnostic, or nothing at all. They have no belief system in God whatsoever. Does that bother anybody besides me this morning? To break it down and make it hit just a little bit closer home and break it down a little farther, did you know there are approximately 130,000 people residing in Laurel, Knox, and Whitley counties combined? And if that same percentage that I just read to you holds true, that means, listen at this, there are 28,600 people in Laurel, Knox, and Whitley County who have never experienced salvation through Jesus Christ. That does not even include, church, the people who claim to believe in Jesus. They claim that they have received salvation, but they do not regularly attend church anywhere. Pew Research Center said only 39% of those who claim to believe in Jesus, only 39% of those attend church on a weekly basis. Another 31% attend only once or twice a month. And there were 30% of the people who believed in Jesus that said they seldom or never darken the doors of a church house. That means in Laurel, Knox, and Whitley counties, in addition to the 28,600 people who have never experienced salvation in Jesus, there are another 29,640 people who say they believe in Him, but they do not attend church anywhere. That is a total in Laurel, Knox, and Whitley County of 57,640 unchurched people in the Tri-County area alone. My God! I said, my God! While I am so very thankful that yes, last year we saw 50 people accept Jesus as their Savior. And we saw 77 people rededicate their lives to Him. And we get excited and we clap and we celebrate about it. And we should. But then when I look at these numbers, I realize that is not a drop in the bucket compared to the number of people that are starving to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's apparent to me that not everybody's been served yet. There is an abundant supply. There's more than enough of Jesus' love and grace and mercy to go around. But there are those who still need to be served. There is more than enough of Jesus' love, grace, and mercy to go around. But there are still those that need to be served. Can I tell you, we have a seat at the table this morning. And we need, and we must remember, that Jesus needs our help to help serve those who are hungry, those who are tired, those who are alone, those who are broken, those who are looking for hope, those who have yet to experience what you and I have experienced. Listen to me this morning. Don't become selfish and keep what you've been given to yourself. Let's partner with Jesus. I wished I could get somebody to help me preach up in here this morning. Let's partner with Jesus and His church, and then let's ask Him to bless it. And then let's take the miracles that He places in our hands, and let's continue to distribute to the hungry until every single one is served, every single one is fed. I read those statistics, and you might want to hold off on the clapping because you may not help me by the time I'm done here. I read those statistics, and then I think about the fact how some churches can't even get along because they can't agree on the color of the carpet. And other churches, wait a minute, I ain't done yet. Other churches can't get along because there's some facet of the worship service that just doesn't seem to tickle their fancy. There's some type of personal preference that they don't like. Then there's other churches that can't get along because the praise team never sings my kind of music. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach up in here. There's other churches that can't get along because they say, these new people are taking my seat. I want to tell you, last time I checked, nobody owned a seat. Can I tell you, we're a messed up bunch in the church. I said we're a messed up bunch in the church. I read those numbers, and it doesn't matter to me if everything tickles your fancy. It doesn't matter to me if the praise team sings your song. It doesn't matter to me if everything is your style and your personal preference. But when I see people come like Pamela came this morning, and rededicate their life to Jesus, that's what it's all about. I read something this week that resonated with me. If we're going to make it hard for people to go to hell, we have to make it easy for people to go to church. If we're going to really make it hard for people to go to hell, we have to make it easy for people to go to church. And we do this by becoming the church that goes to them. As they come to the music this morning, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give His life as a ransom for many." Just like Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve others and give His very life, can I tell you this morning that we did not find Him just to sit here and expect others to serve us. Let me say that again. We did not find Him just to sit here and expect somebody else to serve us. We were placed here to serve others and to give our very lives to see somebody who doesn't know Jesus find Him the same way that I did. tonight at 5 o'clock, I'm going to go over these in greater detail, and it's very important that whether you are signing up for the first time or if you've already been serving in a particular area of ministry and you wish to continue, it's important that you come back tonight at 5 p.m. and join us in the fellowship hall. We're going to feed you good. We're going to have some fellowship. I'm going to speak for just a few moments. We're going to go out into breakout sessions, into the up to two areas of ministry that you choose to serve in. You'll make a one-year commitment to serve in those areas. You'll be given a free t-shirt. Then you're free to go home, and it'll all be over by 7 p.m. So I'm going to go over these in greater detail, but I want to touch on them this morning. I want to remind you something I said last week. And that's simply, see a gap, fill a gap, miracle. It really works that way. One of the first areas of ministry you can serve in is first impressions. That's all about leaving a lasting impression on our guests by welcoming them into the family. You can do that as a parking attendant, golf cart driver, usher greeter, welcome center, or first-time guest follow-up. It's important on the first impression we make with people when they come to church. Worship. We're so blessed here to create an atmosphere of worship that ushers in His presence. Are we not so blessed here? You can be a part of this by being a worship team vocalist, a band musician, or choir for select events only like Easter, Christmas, and other events. Production. Enhance the atmosphere of worship to welcome His presence. Through audio, we're blessed here again. Video. They're trying to get flashy to show us we're blessed. Media and lighting. We're blessed. If you'd be interested in serving in a part of that, they can use help. Children's ministries. Raising up the next generation in a loving and nurturing environment. Nursery, preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school ministries. I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. We talked in staff meeting this week on Tuesday night. Did you realize? I didn't even know that I realized. At this point right now in our church, every single Sunday morning in these two areas combined, we are ministering on average to 100 children, ages nursery through fifth grade. Between two services. If you want to know why they need help, and if you don't think they need help, come let us lock you up in a room with 65 elementary school students. Not only will you pray for them, you'll help. Especially if we make it conditional that you help or you don't get out. Amen, somebody. It'll be worse than Harlan. You won't come out alive, I promise. Or let us lock you up in a room of one-year-olds with 14 one-year-olds. I preached that this morning, and Amanda Radford was sitting back there shaking her head because she worships at 9 and then she serves at 11, and that's about the way it is. She has a little bit of help, but they could use more. Discipleship. You can help in discipleship, connecting with our family and those just beginning their walk with Christ. You can do this as a midweek teacher, a midweek teacher's assistant, but you can also do this by helping serve in one-on-one discipleship, which is where we're taking people like Pamela that we need to pair with somebody today and letting them walk with her for the first 6 to 12 weeks on her recommitted journey with Christ, because it's important that we disciple people. That's what discipleship really looks like. I said that's what discipleship really looks like. For too long, the church has acted like, okay, you got saved, go figure it out. That's not the way it was designed to be. Some of our folks that do one-on-one discipleship now have 3 or 4 people assigned to them. That's too many. We need more people to work in that so we can divide that down. Care ministry. When a church grows to the size that this church has grown, it is physically impossible for me to be everywhere for everybody. I hope you understand that. But I'm not the only one that can do that. We're all called to serve. Care ministry is checking in with those and showing the love of Christ to those experiencing difficult situations. You can do that with family care, bereavement, and benevolence. Outreach, sharing His love with those outside our church to impact the community. Visitation ministry, jail ministry. We have folks that go to the jail regularly that attend this church. Nursing home ministry, which we don't even have active right now. And church outreach, which there wasn't a whole lot went on last year. There's going to be more this year. but we need the help to do it. Church operations, caring for our facility to ensure it's prepared for services each week. Would anybody like to know what it's like to try to, I am going to talk about cleaning in a minute, but I'm going to talk about maintaining, to maintain a 50,000 square foot building. I can tell you that many times Dennis Collins or Rick Crawford have taken on projects and done them by themselves. We could use more folks that would help with building maintenance. Custodial care. We need to hire some custodians, but we'll take volunteers too that'll take a section of the building and clean it once a week. Landscaping and groundskeeping and Gathering Grounds coffee bar. Caitlin, I threw a good plug for you at 9 o'clock and you was out there, so you missed it. But this is assisting in cleaning up each week to maintain the cleanliness of Gathering Grounds and surrounding areas. Now, everybody can't be a barista in the coffee bar because not everybody can make a good coffee. I'm a coffee connoisseur. I'm sorry to let some of y'all know. Not everybody can make a good coffee. Just like not everybody is called to sing on the worship team. Right? Not every noise is joyful. Come on, somebody. Not everybody can make a good coffee, but you know what everybody can do? Here was my plug. Everybody can take up a towel and clean up a mess and get an area ready for the next service or the next event or the next week. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. So I want you to come back at 5 o'clock tonight. But right now, here's what I want you to do. If you'll stand with me all over the room. You may be here today and you may say, Pastor, I hear this message about serving, but I'm not even 100% sure that I would make heaven my home if I went out into eternity unexpected today. I'm just not 100% positive that I'm ready to meet Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, if that's you and you are not positive that you would make heaven your home if you went out into eternity today, would you simply just lift your hand up and put it back down? Thank you for that hand, sir. Anybody else? I'm just not 100% sure. Anybody else this morning? Yes, thank you for that hand. I saw two hands. Anybody else? I want to tell you this morning, you can leave this place today with the assurance knowing that you are ready to meet Jesus as your Savior. The only difference between you and the people around you that did not raise their hand is they're sure because they have made the decision to give their lives wholeheartedly to Jesus. The Word of God says, as I prayed with Pamela this morning, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're just one decision away from being certain that you can make heaven your home. And there's a room full of people here today that will testify with me to you that Jesus Christ will be the best decision you'll ever make in your life. So don't leave here without Him today. Find a place in this altar and let somebody pray with you and make sure that you're ready before you leave here today. To the rest of us, I'm going to say this. You can look at me. I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads anymore. I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to open this altar. First of all, if you have been served, and by that I mean if you have been saved, you are not exempt from serving. Saved people are to serve people. That's what God has called us to do. And I hope I've made it abundantly clear to you that there are far more than enough people. If we got folks saved at the same rate this year that we did last year, it would take us hundreds of years to reach the lost people in this community. We can do more. So you have to recognize that, and you have to acknowledge that we don't serve for awards. We don't serve for applause. We don't serve for accolades. We don't serve for attention. We serve simply so that people will be able to see Jesus. And in fact, they don't even have to know what we know. We know that our service, as I preached to you this morning, is distributing the miraculous in their life simply because we're serving. But like the servants that we read about this morning, we just smile and keep serving. Keep distributing the miraculous in their lives. And as long as we do, God will keep pouring it out. And that's why I said this last week and I have to say it again. In an angry world, we smile. In a hate-filled society, we love. In a land where doors are closing in people's faces, we open doors to them. In an environment where everybody is looking out for themselves, we make a conscious decision to put other people before us. That's why in a harsh world, we're gracious. And in a stingy world, we're generous. It's because we understand that our help helps Jesus help others who need his help. Our help helps Jesus help others who need his help. Saved people serve.